working Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right, so come by Sunday.
Welcome back Sunday to Smashing Sundays Series 2 with me, Beth Granville, and Lucy Pinder. After a summer of festivals, holidays, and getting arrested on public transport, it's an absolute joy to be back recording more of our favourite podcast. Lucy, over to you.
Oh, I hope you've missed us. We've missed it, haven't we?
We've really missed it.
Yeah. We've had some smashing Sundays over the summer, but it's nice to get back and be doing the podcast.
It is.
And we're very, very lucky that our first guest back is April Richardson Rossiter.
Hello.
Which is a bit of a tongue twister. We were just saying this.
And it's too long to sign, so I didn't legally change it.
Yeah.
It's just like for presentation. Just so the fellas know.
The ring is not enough.
Can I real quick ask which one of you got arrested?
It was me.
On public transport?
I was going to say try and guess then, just from looking at
Have you already told the story or can
No, it happened the other week, in Berlin. It was horrible and it was on what was already turning
out
to be...
You got full on arrest, like cuffs and everything.
Marched off by the police.
Okay.
So they didn't... Well, they were going to take me down to the station and I had to pay my way out of it.
What for?
Public nudity.
I really wish it was something. I know. One of my friends texted me going, oh God, public indecency. And I was like, I fucking wish it was. It's a better story. We just had the wrong tickets.
Oh, you get arrested for that?
Oh, mate, honestly, they were plainclothes officers.
If you didn't pay, you would, yeah. But
so
you
we paid for tickets,
way.
But we hadn't validated them, basically. Oh. And we were having the worst day.
Was it a Sunday?
It fucking was.
It was a Sunday.
Yeah, it was. And actually, my friend Mike was like, well, console yourself that this might be good for the podcast. But yeah, it was a Sunday and we had... So it's first time in Berlin. I was there for my birthday. And out the night before, just can't remember getting home, wake up fully clothed, makeup. Like, you know, you wake up like,
right.
What the hell happened last night?
Right.
And had to meet some friends for brunch in half an hour and we were half an hour away and still in our get up from the night before.
Right.
And the whole day was just a shit show. From, you know, just really awful hangovers, everything going wrong. And then we're on our way back on the train and we're like, let's just go back home, lie down in our Airbnb before anything else happens. And that's when we got arrested on the way back.
They go from 0 to 60 real quick. Like, you don't even get a chance. It's like, wrong ticket, jail. Like, you know what I mean?
I feel like you weren't actually arrested. You would have been arrested if you hadn't have been marched to the cash point.
Yeah, so, well, they said, you've committed a crime in Germany, and they started, like, writing out this thing. And they were, you have committed a crime. That's probably racist if I do the accent, but they're like, you have committed criminal activity. And I went, yeah, I mean, cool. But, like, I didn't mean to. And they're like, but you still have... And so they wanted our passports and everything, and they started writing out these things. And I was like, oh, my God.
That is so intense.
It was so intense. I wanted to cry.
I swear on a train here, they just go, okay, well, you have to pay,
exactly.
Like, buy your ticket now.
Yeah, they're like... They would just go, hey, fix it now, instead of being like, you're a criminal, and I'm going to march you to the police station for the crime you committed, when it's just like, whoops, I messed up.
Did you wish you'd committed another crime? You're like, oh, if I'm committing crimes, I wish I'd done something
else. Go for it,
That's wild. And also because it's a place that speaks a different, like, I'd be like, hey, I can't read German, so... Yeah. How am I a criminal if I don't know how to read the ticket?
I did say that. I was like, this feels a bit unfair, especially as you can see we've bought this day ticket today. It's got today's date on
right.
it. But you hadn't validated it and they were so serious about it. It was just quite scary.
They of are course. Not messing around, are they, German police?
No, but apparently it happens a lot. I mean, it felt like an absolute racket. The fact that I could get away with being taken down in a police car to the station... by giving them 60 euros.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, perfect.
It is scary,
how is that different
though, isn't
from the
it?
Mafia?
Yeah, like, it is scary. We had, I won't say which countries we were, when I was younger, we did a car rally. And on one of the borders, the border police basically stopped everyone. And because they were quite fancy cars on this car rally, they basically said to these guys, you know, if you don't pay like thousands of pounds, we're just going to like take your cars in and arrest you.
Wow. For just
and it was really
a reason
like,
they would have made up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to do with like, oh, your number plate's a bit... It was so terrifying because it was like, yeah, well, you have to...
You're powerless.
Yeah.
Wow.
You literally are, like... yeah, another case for no borders. Just that shit is just so intense. And you just feel completely out of control. I thought, yeah, I really don't want to spend my birthday in a police cell in Germany.
But it makes a great story.
100%. You're like, I'm an international felon.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
You should get
about
a face
it,
tattoo now or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, April, you had no, you weren't arrested on the way here.
No. I was very late. Again, I'm sorry. On the record, I want to say I'm sorry. No, I wasn't. Although, I will say, okay, clearly I'm an American. This is not a fake accent.
Because so, you're from Atlanta, right?
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and then I moved here from L.A. I lived in L.A. for 13 years. And there is... I'm in no way a patriot, by the way. I'm in no way, like, America's better or anything like that. If anything, being here, I'm like, America sucks even more than I thought. But when you guys, the cops... Nobody here has guns. So that is one thing when we...
Thank God. It's literally the only reason I still live here.
For sure. But that's... When I was growing up and you would get pulled over, like, there's no threat of death. Mm. So that's the thing is when I'm watching cop shows here, especially, I'm like, I would just run away. Like, yeah. Run away. They don't have guns. Like, that's all I think. Anytime anybody gets pulled over or a cop is like, I'm going to do something, I'd be like, really? What? Like, I come from a place where, like... Cops have AKs.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
don't. I ain't scared. You know
it
what
is,
I mean?
It's terrifying. Like, I years ago very nearly moved to LA, and I think the gun thing in America really was what the gun and health insurance. I was like, yeah, no, I'm gonna stay here.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's definitely that's the other thing too. You guys are so nice, and like we'll be watching the news, and Martin, my husband is British, like that's the reason I moved here, and there'll be a news report that's like. We have to wait 9 whole minutes to see a doctor now. And like Martin's yelling at the TV, like, what a disgrace. And I'm like, that sounds awesome. That is awesome. Don't you know how awesome that is? You know what I mean? Like, it's just funny how you guys are so on top of things that things you perceive as problems. I'm like, that is a blessing.
Yeah.
I would kill for that in my country. Like, you know, just the concept of going to the doctor anytime you want is already like, I live in heaven.
Oh, it's, I never take that for granted.
Yeah,
ever,
yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. So yeah, then on the news she goes, it'll be like, oh, there's a problem. Medicine is now 5 whole pounds, and Martin's like screaming at how terrible that is, and I'm like, wait, that's bad? That's a problem? Because yeah, at home it would be like $500.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, I'd be dead if I lived in America by now. No two ways about it.
I haven't had health insurance in like 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what you die of.
Just all the antibiotics, all the amount it costs, the surgery I've had. Like, I just wouldn't have afforded it. I wouldn't have. There's no, like, my friend has, like it's like third-party fire and theft in health insurance now because she lost it with her job.
Right.
And she was like, I mean, they'll literally just stop me from dying in the street with that.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And that's $400 a month.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not earn enough for it.
Yeah, there's...
It's mad.
I mean, I'm sorry.
As an artist, and you're a stand-up comedian, aren't
you?
So you'd be in that same sort of self-employed position where...
Oh, my accountant... I had to have an accountant, like, the last 5 years I lived there because I was purely freelance, so I just was like, what do I do with all these pieces of paper? And my accountant was like, the tax... Because you have to pay a tax penalty if you don't get, like, the barest of minimum health insurance. And my accountant was like, the tax penalty is actually cheaper than the insurance.
No.
So I just didn't get the insurance because I'm like, I can't afford it. Yeah.
What a rigged system.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
Anyway, chill podcast topic, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we very much appreciate our NHS.
Yeah, we do. And actually, sorry, just to go back on that, I listened to Joe Rogan's podcast with Bernie Sanders, and it made me quite emotional. It was it was wonderful. And I was listening to it, and I just thought, I don't understand the mentality of anybody who wouldn't want Bernie Sanders to be. I thought, hell, if he gets in, I'm moving there. Like, he's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you guys have a really exciting person to potentially vote for next.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff he was saying about health insurance and all of those things, I thought, yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah, it does. It seems like common sense to me. Another interesting thing about living here is I do find that, and of course, we've been watching the news like crazy just because Brexit and everything. And like, even you guys' right wing, not like super duper right wing people, but like, even Tories will be like, yes, I like the NHS. Like, that's unheard of in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, any Republican at all who would be like, I love healthcare would be like kicked out.
Wow.
Like, it's so divisive that, there are times I'm watching, I'm like, wow, even your right wing people acknowledge that having healthcare is a thing that should happen.
Yeah, they kind of pretend that they like it.
Yeah.
With the agenda of sort of selling it.
Yeah, but if you got up and made a speech in America as a Republican going, I think we should have free healthcare, like, you would get booed off the stage.
Mm.
Crazy. Yeah. So you don't miss America.
I mean, no, I do miss, like I was saying, having a car and driving.
Yeah.
Which theoretically I could do here, but I would get in a wreck every 5 seconds.
You just need to pootle around a bit because you're in Brighton now, right?
Right, but wrong side of the car, wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be able to get used to it.
I don't think I could drive in America.
The roads are so much bigger. It's so much easier, and everyone has automatics. It's very rare to have a stick shift.
Yeah, see, I've never had. All my cars are manual, and I get quite disorientated in an automatic because I like having my gear stick.
It's just like cruising.
I can do both. I've done both. I lived in Vancouver for a while, so I drove there. It's all right. It's not as bad as you think. I think it is easier for us driving over there because your roads are massive.
They're huge.
Although a bit overwhelmingly so. I was like driving into Seattle and there's 5 lanes.
But there's a lot of room for error.
Exactly.
Where a lot of the ones, it'll be like one lane.
Driving in Brighton especially, that would be tough.
So that's the only... I do miss the convenience. I do feel like a spoiled kid. But it's like, when I lived in the States... If I wanted to go somewhere, I just got up, went in my car, went to the place. Like, I didn't have to check the timetable, make sure to be at the train station on time, make sure the train wasn't running late. Like, the lack of control
I feel like that moving to London from Winchester. Like, because I was in Winchester my whole life. And, you know where everything is. Like you said, if you get caught in traffic, you know the shortcuts. Mm-hmm. In London, it's like, right, I need to get on this tube. It's quite, like, I think moving to a different city anywhere is a bit disorientating.
Sure, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
But you can definitely drive in Brighton.
Yeah, but I mean, am I going to? I don't know. Am I going to try to take that test? I feel like you guys are way more
cheap.
Yeah, and you guys, I think, are more strict on your rules. Like, America is so reckless.
Yeah.
Like, so reckless. The driving test was so easy. You'd never have to retake. Like, when you go renew your driver's license, it's just a get a new picture. Like, you never have to retake it. You can be like,
you insure the car, don't you? In Vancouver, you insure the car, which is great.
Yeah.
Whereas here, obviously, you've your personal insurance. And then you've got, so I think we've got more like speed cameras and things than any per square mile than anywhere else in the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
And like, as someone who's accrued this summer, right, alone, £400 in fines.
No.
So there's this new.
You are
ultra.
A reckless felon.
Oh, honestly.
Be
I
honest.
Really am. Like, how I'm not in prison is really incredible. But two ultra low emission zone fines, which is this new fun thing that the London mayor, who I do like Sadiq Khan, actually. But this is fucking mental. So it's ultra low emission zone. And it's a tiny little sign, which I failed to see, and lots of people have, where if you don't have a car that's electric or hybrid or whatever, you have to pay, like, the congestion charge, but, like, ramped up. It's like the congestion charge sort of, you know, with bells on. So I didn't even know it existed. Didn't see the sign. £280 fines in 2 weeks.
Do you get them in the mail?
Two parking fines. I've got. Yeah, yeah. You get them in the. Yeah, just a lovely surprise, like, in the post. Yeah, yeah. It's really nice. Sure.
But
really
we were nice like, stuff. What happened to like a parking fine or something? It used to be like £20,
right?
And all of a sudden, it's like £60, and if you don't pay it within 2 weeks, it's £190, and you're like, what? When did this like go insane?
Yeah, it's gone.
When I moved to London.
Yeah, well, that. But wages have not risen with fines.
Right.
Inflation.
See, these are all
fines.
Things keeping me from driving for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's stress. It's really stressful driving. It's just so nice. It's the control thing. That's why I like having a car, is just to be able to get in. My family live in Wales, and obviously Lucy's in Winchester. So for us, being able to get in the car and drive home, when you've got no family in the city you're in, it's quite nice having that little...
Yes.
And you'll know
and
about
road
that.
Trips.
So road trips are ace.
Yes.
Yeah,
and so I kind of miss that. Although Martin's like... Well, if we go on a road trip, we'll just rent a car, and because he can't drive. He's never had to drive. He doesn't have a driver's license. So he's like, you can do it. And I'm like, very convenient.
Can I be, when the shit hits the fan, can I be your driver?
Yes, absolutely.
I wish I had told you about my fines now.
No, I don't mind.
I have to be a driver for
you
guys.
She is a very good driver.
Yeah.
No, apart from, racking up fines left, right and centre. But
we were saying about how, because we loved kind of how you ended up coming to Brighton. Mm-hmm. This is such a lovely romantic. Are you happy with telling your love?
Sure.
Story about how you met your lovely husband.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, obviously, I knew I was a huge Gene fan as a teenager.
So basically, April's husband is Martin Rossiter, Gene legend.
Yeah, definitely a legend. If you knew how much he farted, you would not say that. That's the thing when I'm hanging out, I'm like, you're
that's gonna
so
make my
corny.
Dad love him more.
My sister will be so thrilled.
It's funny because I thought I also have a habit of, I mean, I travel a lot anyway, and I'm very friend, like, when I've gone on comedy tours, I've just on Twitter been like, hey, I'll be in this city tonight if you want to hang out. Or like go on Instagram and go, hey, I'm eating at this diner in Seattle if you want to come meet me. Like, I just like meeting people. And so when I was in London last summer, I was just here visiting friends. And irony of all ironies, Morrissey sort of brought us together because he wrote, I mean, Morrissey, who's like sucks now and is a bummer right wing dude, broke my heart into a million pieces because I loved him growing up, like beyond. I've seen Morrissey live 120 times. But the more he talks, the more I'm like, who are you? I don't understand who this person is. That
I think there's a hell of a lot of Morrissey Smiths fans who are really conflicted with.
It's just heartbreaking. And so I made a decision where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to give you any more money. I don't know who this person is anymore. No longer do I like you, whatever. But Martin had decided that before me and wrote an article that I read. And I was like, this is really articulate. Like, you've articulated everything the way I feel, whatever. So I just sent him a message on Twitter and was like, I like your, because we had followed each other years ago, but just in that loose Twitter way of like, you know, you just follow people and then you forget about it and whatever. And so, yeah, I just DM'd him and was like, I read your article. It was really good. I feel the same way. The guy really bummed me out too. And then Martin was just sort of casually like, well, if you're ever in England and you want to hang out, just let me know. But in no way did I think this guy was hitting on me or anything. Like, that's, you know, I do that all the time, hanging out with people. So I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. And then, about 6 months later, I was here staying at my friend Grant's house. And so I hit him up and was like, I am here if you want to hang out. And he texted me, but it was super like, hey, so do you want to have dinner at blah, blah? You know, it was I was like, wait a minute. Like, I read it and then I showed my friend Grant. I'm like, is this guy hitting on me? This is a date, right? And Grant was like, yeah, 100%. He's asking you on a date. And so then I was just like, wait, what? Like, I genuinely, I totally thought he was gay, but I was like, all right, I guess I'm going on a date with him. So then we met for dinner, and when we sat down, you know, I had never met him, so I just was like, hey, how's it going? Like, what's going on? And literally the first thing he said was, well, I'm single. It's like literally the first thing he said. So then in my head, I'm like, okay, well, this is definitely a date. And then, yeah, we just ended up hanging out all night, and it was awesome. And then I was like, do you want to hang out tomorrow night? And he was like, oh, yeah, definitely. And then I was here for 2 more weeks on my trip, and we just never left each other's side for 2 weeks. And then he's just really sweet. And he's also, like, super corny and funny. Like, I guess I thought he was going to be this, like, I'm such a poet, and, like, I'm all, you know, serious poet guy. And he's, like, the corniest dad joke-telling dude in the world, and is really funny and silly. And so we had a lot of fun, and I was just pleasantly surprised by that because, I just thought he was going to be, like, all snooty and, like, you know.
Intense.
Or worse, a fascist like Morrissey.
Yeah. I'd be like, wait a minute. You've completely misrepresented yourself. Yeah, he was just, like, really fun and funny, and so he'll be so angry that I'm saying that. He's like, I'm not fun. I'm a sophisticated artist. And then, when I was leaving, he just was really sweetly kind of like, I don't want to be weird, but would you, like, want to try to do this for real? You know, when I was about to go back to the States, he was just like, I don't want to be forward and, you know, assume that you would move here for me, but would you move here for me? And amazing. I was like, yeah, definitely.
Because when you know, you know.
Yeah.
This is what we always say.
Yeah. So, you know, I had to go on tour, actually. I had planned, like, this 6-week comedy tour across the country. So I had to come home and do that. Like, of course, we talked every day and stuff like that. But then he came to visit me and stayed for a couple weeks in LA, and then when he was there, we just drove to Vegas and got married secretly.
Wow.
And, like, didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my parents. He didn't tell his kid. Like, we told zero people because we were gonna have, like, a real wedding later, but then we ended up just using that money to go to Hawaii because we're like, why?
Yes.
Let's just go on a honeymoon instead. But yeah, we did that. So
sorry, because this is a podcast, nobody knows this, but me and Lucy are sat here just glowing. Like, both of our we're going to have face ache after this because it's so fucking beautiful. It's so lush.
He's just, like, the nicest person I've ever met. He's just so nice. That sounds like such a...
All right, we're sick of this now.
But he is. It's like, he's just easy. I've dated, like, super argument. He's just so easy to get along with and is just, like, super nice. Where I'm like, I can't believe how nice you are to me. This is so weird. And especially after dating in L.A.
Yeah, how was that?
I wonder if it's
scene?
Like London. I love a date in comparison with London and LA.
Well, maybe it is similar. Okay, crazily, this is my second marriage. I was married when I first moved to LA. I got married really young. I got divorced when I was 28. So I was married when I moved there, and then we got divorced. He's great. David's great. We're still friends. He's cool. And so we break up, and then when I started dating, yeah, it was – the thing about LA is – well, of course, everyone's obsessed with their career. Mm. No judgment. Great. You move there to be famous. Mm-hmm. Cool. But because of that, overwhelmingly, the mentality seems to be like, I'm about to be famous, therefore I can't be tied down.
Yeah.
Everyone has this thing of like – I can't have a girlfriend or a wife because when I get famous, I'm going to want to fuck everybody.
Yeah.
So don't try to tie me down. And you get that vibe on like the first date where you're going, yeah, I'm not. This is the first date. I don't want to marry you. Calm down. Like I've had friends go on dates with dudes who pursued them and asked them out. And on the first date have gotten speeches like, yeah, I just want to make sure you know I don't want this to get serious. And
oh,
like
God.
My friends
yeah,
have been
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's like
yeah.
London a lot. That's a lot like
which
London.
Which is insane because they're like, yeah, I don't. We're just at dinner. Calm down.
This arrogance. We were talking about this the other day.
It's this thing and of like, something better being around the corner constantly.
Yeah, kind of. But I think also it's that they just don't want it. And that's fine to not want it as well. But what gets me is the overwhelming sort of arrogance of a lot of men that feel they have to have that chat. It's like it's not okay. It's so ingrained in men's minds that all women want a relationship.
Yes. And or I'm we're like, trying to trap them.
Like
or
trying
something.
To trap them yeah. or want a relationship. Oh, and some of the people have said to me over the years, the thing is, I just don't want, and I'm like, mate, I mean, wow.
Yeah. Because you're going, I didn't ask you for it.
If you were the last fucking person on it. Like, honestly, astonishing stuff. Mm. And I'm like, they haven't quite figured out yet that women also want to be freed up to pursue their careers and spend time with their friends and, you know, have a lovely free single life. Yes. But also women want sex.
Yes.
Like, so it's like, no, maybe I just want to have sex with you and have some fun with you. But then it just gets marred by that, just so you know, babe.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, 100%. Oh, I don't even want to have sex with you because you're awful.
Yeah.
Or there's the levels of whatever the rule is of like, yes, exactly. Even if you have a casual thing, you know, if you text too soon after you had sex or you call too soon and they're like, calm down. And you're like, I'm not even, don't worry. I don't want to secretly marry you. Like, shut up.
We were talking about that whole, like, because I think we're probably similar, like, are not into that whole game thing. And it's like, if you like someone and you've had a nice time and you want to see them again, I don't get at 35... The need to sit there and go, oh, okay, it's been a day or it's been 2 days. It's like, if you want to see me, text me. If I want to see someone, I'll text them. Like, if it's a no, it's a no. I don't get all this like, oh, I mean, yeah, there are people who are a little bit, what would the word be?
Intense. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who you have to quite quickly go, oh, actually, I'm not very interested in you.
Yes, please stop sending me sex gifts.
Don't send sex gifts.
Intense texting is insane. But yeah, I had somebody that texted me recently within 20 seconds of turning round from us leaving each other. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fucking hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's fucking more hot than making someone wait a day.
Right.
If you like someone, whether that be that you might see a future with them or that you'd really like to see them again.
Right.
Just for a casual thing or just fun or sex or whatever. Mm. It's lovely just to, you know, just be nice.
Yeah.
Just, oh, yeah, you're great. I'd like to see you again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess age probably does have... I'm 40 and Martin's 49. I mean, it's like we're too old to even be like, let's be coy. It's like, yo, we're like almost retired. I'm not going to be coy with you. Let's just get married. Who cares? That was another thing, too, is when we got married, people were like... And when people started finding out, my mom's like, what if it doesn't work? I'm like, what if it doesn't work?
Exactly.
Like, who cares? Yeah, it's like...
This is what, as I've got older, I find that really weird when people go, oh, they've only known each other this long.
Right.
It might not work. And it's like, yeah, you can be in a relationship for 15 years and it doesn't work.
Right.
So
who cares?
Yeah.
And again,
yeah,
I'm so old.
10
it's like,
years and we got married and then broke up a year after getting married.
Right.
You know, it's just
a roll of dice no matter
exactly
what the circumstances are, so who cares? But so there were weird times in LA. I mean, I dated right after I got divorced, I dated this guy for almost 2 years, and even though we were in a relationship, he was my boyfriend, I was his girlfriend, there were still times I'd call him or text him and be like, sorry to bother you, but you know what I mean? It was just that attitude of yeah, everyone wants to seem unattached, even if they aren't. I remember with that guy, he wouldn't even hold my hand and stuff in public. It was like, I could tell he didn't want people to know he had a girlfriend, even though I'm like, I'm right here. Wow. I've been your girlfriend for years.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was... To have a guy just instantly be like, yeah, what's up? I'm super into you. Why
it's
waste
so
time?
Attractive. It's so fucking
hot.
Attractive when a guy's just like, I like you.
It's so hot.
And you're kind of like, yeah. We were saying flattery will get you everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, someone complimenting you. And the amount of people. And I've noticed a couple of people who I've dated. There's one guy I dated for, it was probably like 6 weeks, 2 months or something. And he was great in loads of ways and funny and really clever and lovely. And I realised that the whole time we dated, he'd never once told me I look nice. And I thought, I can kind of tell that he thinks I look nice in his sort of body language and whatever. But I thought, wow. And I've noticed it more since. And it's so lovely when somebody just goes, oh, you look fucking beautiful, or you look great. Or And men don't do it enough. And I've spoken to some of my male friends a couple of things lately. And we talked about manners and giving compliments and being nice, and I don't know why sometimes those things, I think it takes confidence to give a compliment.
Oh, for
you
sure.
know
yeah.
it does
and yeah.
I think people underestimate how lovely it feels to get one and how lovely it feels to give one as well.
Yes.
It feels nice giving compliments, you know. And we talked about manners in terms of when you're dating and having casual relationships with people. Overwhelmingly, it feels like, and men, please feel free to message in and say if you disagree with this, but it feels like quite often after a one-night stand or a date or a mixture of both, if you've had a date and slept together, lots of men don't feel like they want to give a woman that, it was lovely to see you, thanks so much, that was great. You know,
they're also
really
worried
that,
like, oh, she's going to want
a relationship.
Yes, exactly.
And it's like, guys, always send that message. And things naturally fizzle. And you know when you're dating, you're something in your, like an internal sort of thing
like
kicks
instinct.
Off. The second you know, if somebody's not asking you lots of questions, they're not saying, you know, when can I see you again? If they're not saying those things, but they're like, hope you have a good day, hope your hangover's not too bad, it was great to see you. You can say all those things. You can be... polite
yeah,
and
you
nice.
Can be decent and
decent yeah. and yeah. kind without even having to see them again if you don't want. Let it fizzle. Give someone a couple of days. I think if somebody's slept with you, they've given a bit of themselves and it leaves them quite vulnerable.
Right.
And to cut someone off like that, which
we literally
hear
said
of lots
to our
of
male
men
friend, didn't we? We were like, if you've been in her vagina, you can send her a text.
A fucking
text.
And I'm like, if you really don't like her,
I had
that
a really
much,
fun time.
Yes.
Don't fuck her in the first place.
Yes.
If you
yes.
liked her enough to fuck her, you like her enough to spend 10p on a text.
Yes.
When one text for 10p, you'd watch your balance going down. So sad. Yeah, anyway, it was something we talked about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just a manners thing, and it just feels really one-sided. It feels like a lot of our amazing female friends are getting this a lot, whereas
right.
none of my single male friends are ever talking
and
about women treating
that,
them badly.
You know,
no.
As women, you've kind of maybe you've like, you know, had a night with someone and the next day you've gone, oh, actually, don't think I want to see them again, but they're really fun. And I just think women are a bit more kind of empathetic to going, oh, it was really nice hanging out with you.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, and sending those kind of texts. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are women that have done it to men, you know.
I mean, I'm sure everybody has ghosted somebody once or something, but I guess it's rooted in fear. Like, I feel like a lot of dudes I know, when I've talked to guys about this and like asking them things like, why are you so worried that a girl is gonna, like, they don't want to be the bad guy. So it's like, I don't want to like have to break up with somebody, or I don't want to have to be mean about it or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't, it's not that extreme. Like, you don't have to, I don't know. It's just such a weird to feel like you have to constantly have one arm out going, okay, don't get too close, don't get too close, don't get too close, when it's like, just relax, and whatever happens, happens, and don't assume immediately that the woman's going to fall deeply in love with you 5 seconds after meeting you.
The arrogance of it is astonishing.
Yeah, it really is. I never assume the opposite. I've never hung out with a dude on a first date and being like, a bae's definitely super in love with me right now.
Yeah.
Like that, I never feel that way.
It's like, mate, if you're looking at a top hat and tails for the wedding, calm your face.
Yeah. Like, I've never felt the need to say that.
My face is doing the opposite of that glowing face talking about your mother. I'm just getting fuming.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I'm like that emoji where the eyebrows are facing
totally.
Down and it's got the red
There's
face and
steam
swearing
coming out.
Yeah,
your nose.
Steam coming out. Oh, fuck.
But I do think, like, with you and Martin, I think it is that thing that, and I think a lot of people, I think my male and female friends are kind of guilty of when something isn't working, like, really overanalyzing it, and you just go, it's not working. You don't have to overanalyze. Like, you know, when you really like someone, and you kind of know if they like you back.
Right.
Because it just, you just feel it. And it's really weird that I watch kind of friends of mine really trying to force relationships for whatever reason. It's like, you know, you just know.
I want to know why. Yeah. And it's like, trust me, you don't want to know why.
Yeah.
No boy I haven't wanted to see would want the reasons why.
And sometimes it's like an... Well, for me, I didn't date very much in LA at all, but the handful of times that I did, like... There were times where the guy would be objectively handsome and on paper a totally nice, perfectly fine dude. I just didn't want a friendship. Like, that's it. There was nothing wrong with him at all.
But just not that spark.
Yeah, but there's no way to really articulate that. But friends of mine would get upset about men not wanting to see them. And I'm like, think about the time that happened to you.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
It's just, you can tell that you're not.
We're really good at objectively going, well, yeah, I feel like that about people. So people are going to feel like that about me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think there is a loveliness, like we forever, certainly I am moaning about my fucking age. And I just think, well, the lovely thing that comes with age is that confidence.
Oh,
and
yeah, like, you just don't care anymore.
I don't give a fuck anymore.
Care.
And you
I'm
just
like,
have
do you know
a...
what?
Yes.
Like, I think I'm all right.
Yeah.
And I might not be everybody's cup of tea.
But that's the other thing. I think that's the thing with age and being kind of, as the older you get kind of more emotionally intelligent. And you do. You kind of go, no, that's fine if that boy doesn't want to see me again. Because it's just not... It's not.
I mean,
fireworks.
I'll still be fuming about it for 48 hours. I mean, I'm allowed to be. I'll still, you know, if I get drunk, I will have hangover anxiety about it. But that'll fade.
I'll go eventually.
Yeah.
But so we like to talk about Sundays.
Yes.
Smashing Sundays.
Yes.
So how different are your Sundays now that you're in the UK?
Entirely. My entire life did a complete 180. My Sundays in Los Angeles. Okay, so like I said, I got divorced. Then I lived on my own. I lived completely on my own. I never, even with these guys I dated, I never moved in with anybody. I never got to that stage. I was completely alone for the last like 12 years. So even just living with somebody now, like, don't get it twisted. I told you this great story, and it was all sweetness and roses. But then we have fought a lot, for sure, because I got here like, oh, wait, I have to live with them. And a lot of it's me, because I'm like...
After 12 years, I can't imagine.
So even just moving in with somebody, I've been a little bit like, can you please clean your shit up? Like, I'm not used to having another person in my space. So my Sundays in L.A., I would... Well, especially when I first... the first job I got in comedy was writing on Chelsea Lately. And I worked there for 4 years. And that was, and I know now, I miss it. It was the most money I've ever seen in my life or will ever see in my life. So my Sundays, I lived right around the corner from Melrose Avenue.
Yeah.
So I'd walk to this pizza place on Melrose Avenue. I would have lunch every Sunday with my friend Howard. And then I would walk down to this nail place and have my nails done. And that was like my Sunday. And then I would go home and read an entire book.
This is like such a perfect Sunday.
It was the greatest. No one ever was bothering me. Total silence in my apartment that I shared with no one. It was beautiful. But now I have a husband that I share a house with, and he has a child. I have like a stepkid that we have a few nights a week. And so normally my Sundays are kind of like spent doing laundry and cleaning up and like getting ready for, you know, the week to start. They're the opposite of my past
in the
Sundays.
Words of Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just love hearing you say Melrose in your accent. It's such a
I used
word,
to. That's what I would do on Sundays. I would just like walk up and down. Yeah.
That sounds bloody lovely. Yeah. And such a nice advert for me to not have kids. I fucking hate laundry.
Yeah.
Oh, my sister's depressing. Got three, and she's like, literally, the worst thing about having
Hanging
a family. She said,
out.
I never stop doing laundry. She's like, it never stops.
It's or just putting so things depressing. Away. Or, well, here, okay, I've sung the praises of England. Now I'm going to tell you the beef I have with
not having dryers.
Well, yes, not having dryers. not having any motherfucking closets. Build closets into your homes.
We don't do storage well. Wardrobes. We've got no room as well.
Wardrobes are the biggest scam. The big wardrobe industry has tricked all you guys into thinking you have to buy a separate closet when you could just build it into your house.
So when
I first got there, I was like, where's the closet? And Martin's like, what do you mean there's no closets? Where's the linen closet that you put your towels in? What's a linen closet? The closet next to the bathroom that you put your towels in. He's like, I don't know what that is.
Do you know, I think that's a space thing, though, because our spaces are so much smaller.
Yeah.
That's where we have dryers and
there's no shelves. No, I've had to buy all these extra. By the way, I'm not like a rich. I lived in a one bedroom apartment in Los Angeles, but my one bedroom apartment had more closets than the house that we live in Brighton. So I'm like, where do you put everything? So we've had to build. I bought all of these like extra shelves because I'm just like, where do we put our toys? Where do you put the towels? Where do you put the anything? So
it is really hard. It's like in our flat, we've got no airing cupboards. So we've got I remember when I moved in, I was like, where do my towels go?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well, because also
Lucy, look at my room that looks like the drug squad have been in. That's where you can put some down by your desk. You can forget about one that's behind your bed.
Right.
I was thinking that when you were talking about moving in with Martin. I was like, it's like our relationship.
Yeah, like moving in with me.
Well, that's the thing that makes me feel like the most spoiled American ever, because I'm like, you know,
but
we have
really
18 closets, and Martin's like, yeah, but this house was built 500 years ago where people owned like 3 shirts. Like, they didn't need clothes.
People would die before they owned that much stuff.
Yeah.
But it's what you're used to. It's like I was in my house for like 10 years with a tumble dryer, and the first year I didn't have a tumble dryer. I was literally like, I would give anything to have a tumble dryer.
Get one in your room, love.
We had an argument.
In your tumble dryer.
That is one thing we argued about. I was like, I want to buy a dryer. And Martin's like, absolutely not. And I'm,
he's if you've got space, it's essential, surely.
He won't let me buy one. He's like all vegan and all like, the environment.
He's vegan,
and
is
like,
he?
Yeah.
Are you vegan?
Well, I am now I don't mind it, actually. Yes, by default. I mean, I can't lie. I still put cheese on things occasionally. I was already a vegetarian, but he cooks a lot and it's good. I'm like, I got no complaints.
If I had a vegan chef, I'd be sweet.
Yeah,
I've dated a couple of vegans, and I thought, could I? And I think I'd have to. And I always imagined myself, if I ever like moved in with them, I think when I was out of the house, I'd probably have like just a little bit
of cheese.
Yeah, but he's not like a total jerk about it. Like, I will have cheese
not in
the house.
Not in the way that they'd be that.
Yeah.
I think I probably wouldn't have it in the house to just eat by myself.
Yeah.
But he'll make something, and then I'll be like, I got to put cheese on mine. And he's like, that's fine.
Because it makes everything better.
Yeah, it does. That's the one thing
we don't eat either.
We're veggie. I think last year I started thinking, could I try and be vegan? And it was cheese.
Yes.
And I know that all vegans are like, it's so lame to be like, but cheese. Like,
yeah.
And we have...
It's like, I'll never own my own house. Don't ask me to give up cheese. Yes. That is so depressing.
In Brighton, one thing about Brighton is there's a zillion
vegan
restaurants.
Yeah.
And they are making slight strides in the world of fake cheese science.
I've
had a couple of them where I'm like, this isn't terrible, but for the most part, when I try to eat vegan cheese, I'm like, you gotta be joking.
Yeah,
like, no way,
this isn't cheese.
Yeah
this isn't cheese.
Is like, just stop baking.
Have you done like Sunday roasts?
Yes, there's a pub at the end of our street that does a vegan Sunday roast. And we've done that a couple of times. Yeah, it's really nice. There's also a place, I'm just giving you guys a restaurant tour, Brighton, that you can go, and it has like sausages and mash. Like, you pick the sausage and you pick the kind of mash, and like half of them are vegan, half of the options. And so you get that on Sundays. Yeah, it's really nice. So being vegan in Brighton is super easy.
We're gonna come down and visit you for a vegan
meal,
aren't
we? Yeah,
well,
do it.
The weather's still a little bit nice.
Do it. We have a guest room. On a night where our stepkid's not there. My stepkid isn't there, and we have a guest room.
Oh my God, we're there.
Should we bring you a dryer as a housewarming gift?
Hey, what's up?
It's payment for the podcast.
Taking a tumble dryer on the train down to Brighton.
Definitely get arrested then.
Yeah.
I'll try and get arrested on the way down to Brighton for you, love. Cool. Well, we always... we ask people their perfect Sunday at the end of this. We've got a couple of questions that we ask. But you've kind of...
My former Sundays were, I would just like read an entire book. That is the best, just uninterrupted on my couch.
Lovely.
I mean, now...
Phone away while you're reading?
Yeah, completely. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge phone guy. I feel like I'm just on the cusp of being too old. Like, I look at my phone, but it's not like essential. Because again, I'm 40, so I'm like, maybe on the edge of not being obsessed with it. So yeah, I usually would leave it, especially in LA, I would leave it in my bedroom or leave it in another room while I'm on the couch reading a book.
Nice.
But yeah, now we usually, it changed. You guys are going to laugh so hard at me for being so scandalized by this, but I think it changed nights. But our Sunday night ritual used to be at the end of the night, closing it out with Naked Attraction. Because do you guys understand that you cannot show dicks on TV in the States? Not even close. You can't show dicks in movies.
They did. I thought it was like, it's illegal to show an erect penis, isn't it? Like in films or something. There's really weird like
the fact that that's on normal TV here.
Oh, it is mad.
The
even
first time
we were shocked.
Yes. When the first time I was flipping channels and it was on, I was like, oh, did I stumble on like a porn channel? And Martin's like, no, this is, you know, whatever, channel 4. I'm like, this is regular television. So that became, I'm obsessed with it, and we would watch it every Sunday.
Nothing sexy about it, though, is
nothing.
There? That's why it's allowed, probably. Because it's all about context and how you sell something, I think, with censorship. And, you know, I think it's all about how you're delivering it. So we have that with pitching things sometimes, and how we use swear words in, because I work in radio a bit, in broadcasting, and you go, can we get away with that? And it's like, yeah, because of the context and the delivery. And
I think since it's so clinical.
Yeah, it's quite clinical and quite whimsical.
Horny.
It's not like you're not like watching people fucking or anything.
But I just think that the people on it are
like
kind of modern day flashers, aren't they? They must be getting off on the fact that they are naked and loads of people are looking at them.
For sure. Well, that's the only when we watch it, Martin is always like, oh my god, I hope it's not like a student, because I'm like, what if it's somebody you know and then you just have to go to work tomorrow, like, hey Fred, totally saw your dong last night, make those copies. Like, that's so weird. But a couple of weeks ago, there was a lady on who was about my mom's age, who was the raunchiest lady of all time.
I think I saw loads of little Twitter clips of her.
She was super frumpy and was like, you would never guess. And then she goes on, she's like, I love rim jobs and like all this crazy shit where you're like, what? And like getting up in the dude's right up next to their dicks, like, yeah, I don't know if my mouth will fit around this one. And it was so
crazy. Amazing.
You made me
want to watch it now.
We should watch it. I've only ever seen it through Gogglebox. Do you ever watch Gogglebox?
I have, but not for this show, but I've seen it
so
for
that,
other
the
shows.
Only bits of Naked Attraction I've ever seen have been through Gogglebox. I've never actually, maybe we should watch it. We'll
you guys
introduce it into
I'm
our Sunday routine.
I think they change
nights.
Depends
how hungover I am. I don't want to look at dicks on a Sunday night normally.
Yeah, it comes on at like 10 or 11.
Really?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There are some super weird dicks and super weird vag. Like, that's, but my favorite part is, look, at the end of the day, it's you're picking out who you want to bone. Like, I love it when the contestants try to get, like, they try to wax poetic about it. And they try to be like, well, I can sense that she is a good soul while, like, staring into a woman's pubes.
Hilarious.
When it's like, no, you can't. No, you can't. You're looking at her vagina.
Oh, my God. I have to watch this.
Do they do, like, a recap? Like, do they go on a date?
Yeah, they go
do
on
they
a date.
A recap?
And then, and then they catch up. I've only seen a handful of dates that went well, no surprise.
Wow.
But yeah, they'll go on their date and then they'll have a thing that's like 3 weeks later and then they're sitting on the couch saying if it went well or not.
I wonder if they've got a better, because we love first dates on Channel 4. I wonder if they've got a better success rate. I wonder who's winning in this.
That's
a
graph. Honestly, I want to be done, actually. Yeah. Of all those reality shows, which one has the highest
which
hit rate?
Which one stays together?
How can we do that research, I wonder? What are the other ones? Just any of those? Love Island, we put that up against it. I've never seen that. But
I've never seen
it
either.
I think that's to do with that as well. You've made me want to watch that now.
Yeah, Sunday nights. Yeah. Watch Naked Attraction.
Sunday,
it's
that's our
so
next
ridiculous.
Smashing Sunday is going to be doing that.
I will say in their defense, too, they have all age ranges. It's not just like young, hot people.
Yeah.
It's like, I
you
do like that they have
me. Any amount of money to do that.
No,
oh, come
no,
on,
okay,
come on.
Right,
what
right,
would
yeah,
you
no,
want
okay.
to be on Naked Attraction?
Right.
Come on.
I'm just thinking about those parking fines. £400. No, okay. It's got to be a life-changing
half
amount of money.
Million?
Oh,
Quarter of a million?
I was thinking more £100,000.
You're talking it down.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to go, oh, no, I don't want $500,000. I'll have $100,000.
But
obviously,
keep in mind, it is forever. They put all the episodes on the internet. It's
so
not
it's
like
$100,000 if you invest it, right?
That's the thing that blows my mind, is it's not like, oh, we just aired it once and then it's like they're on the internet, they're streaming forever, you're always going to be naked on the internet
and they're getting paid nothing.
And wouldn't you be fuming if you didn't get chosen?
How much would you have to be paid to do that? Girls, if you say nothing, you wouldn't do it now. And you've made
It would have to be seven figures. It would have to be minimum a million. Minimum.
Yeah. Like, everyone's seen my boobs, but I don't want to get that out. I don't want
to
get...
And you stand, again, it's you just have to stand like you're in a lineup. Like,
they
just
really, like, go in there.
Oh, fuck me.
They get
okay, half a million.
They get right up in your junk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What?
You stand still. They just get to walk up to your junk and, like... investigate it. That's what I'm saying. It's not like sexy. You're not like posing and going, yeah. You're
just
standing like you're at the doctor.
When I was modeling and I had managers kind of saying, do you want to meet Playboy? And I kind of like, in your head, you kind of go, oh, I don't know. And I just remember thinking, okay, if I did it, like, I'd want so much money, and I'd also just, like, grow a massive bush.
Yeah,
so
and that's stylized.
Really,
right, yeah, yeah.
But that's also, you know that you'd be posed beautifully. You wouldn't just be standing still, like,
with
someone
on Channel 4.
With a monocle looking at my vagina. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
We're going to watch that.
We are going to watch that. So, closing on monocles looking at Lucy's vagina.
Yes.
Because I think that's a beautiful place to come to a close. We are composing a playlist. Composing? Curating?
Okay.
Creating?
We're not composing, are we?
I mean, yeah, no, we might be. depends how well
really
the karaoke night goes. Just started dating someone who plays a harmonica, so we never...
Oh, so you know everything about
music.
This
is great. My favourite thing. So Beth started dating this lovely guy, and she was like, yeah, he's really musical. And she, like, opened on going, he plays the harmonica, he plays the
he's
drums,
a boxcar
he
hobo.
Plays the guitar. And our other friend was like, yeah, I'd open on, like, he's a drummer, he plays the guitar, he also plays the harmonica.
And the spoons.
Yeah,
I love a harmonica. Perhaps I'm on my own with that.
I love a bit of Stevie Wonder's harmonica.
So, talking of harmonicas and the music I'm going to compose later on this week, now I've committed to it. What track would you like to put on our Smashing Sundays playlist? So what's the best track you can think of to kind of...
You wake up, you put the radio on.
What song is being played?
Oh my God, you guys are putting me on the spot.
I know.
Sorry.
Because you're a real muso as well, so I think you're going to take this really seriously, which is
great. Is this supposed to be like a chill vibe?
It could be anything. We quite like, what have we got on our... We've got like Starfish and Coffee.
Sure.
Is on. We've got Yes by McCormick and Butler. So quite uplifting, but you can have a real mellow...
One of our guests put on Azealia Banks 212, which is one of my favourite songs.
Oh,
but
damn.
Not for
not
a Sunday
a
morning.
Damn, yeah.
Unless you're still,
she's still
drunk.
Pissed.
Yeah, that's like...
Gabby's always still pissed.
Fuck the police, NWA. What? Just a lazy Sunday tune. Wow, I don't... Is it cheating? Should I...
You can have a couple if you can't decide. Like, we...
What's your favourite Gene one? That'd
I was going to say, I'm going to make Martin play Still Can't Find the Phone. That's, like, my favourite Gene song.
Amazing.
So, and it's, like, a chill...
And you live with him, so you don't have to... put the radio on. You can just say, can you play
Oh my God, he would never. He would be like, shut up.
Would he?
If I were trying to be like, just sing to me, sing your own songs to me, he
speak
would probably
to me, Martin. Oh, so I think I told you this when we met, that my dad took my sister to a Gene gig in Finsbury Park, I think, like in the 90s. And my dad got really drunk. And Gene's song, Speak to Me Someone. Mm-hmm. I don't think Martin had sung it yet. And my sister was like, it was great. Dad was just like hanging off a barrier going, speak to me, Martin. And he's coming to see them next year.
Oh
so
God,
hopefully he'll do the same.
Yeah,
Martin will have to come on and talk to us about his side of the washing saga.
Oh my God, he would love to.
I've married this woman and she's put closets everywhere. He's a fucking nightmare.
He's not wrong. I mean, there have been times he's like, you are such a spoiled American. And I'm like, you're not wrong. I mean, I've lived there for 40 years. What can I say? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a spoilt Brit with our healthcare and our...
Yeah, exactly.
Not guns.
Exactly.
Right, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my God,
April.
Of course.
It's
thank you for having
absolute
me.
Absolute joy. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys. Me down, so come by Sunday. Make it after 3. Come by Sunday.